Welcome along then to season 2, episode 2 of the Drew Busney Show. Yes, we are back. And today on the show, we talk about the Patriots. Who's at fault for their third loss in a row? Elliott Wolf or Gerard Mayo? Is it too early to talk about tanking? We talk about if the Red Sox questions we ask year after year will finally be answered this offseason. And we revisit the PGA Tour schedule dilemma that we talked about last week. This is a reminder that we are on WRUC 89.7, the first station in the nation, live from beautiful Union College in Schenectady, New York. All those next on the Drew Busney Show. And welcome in on what is a beautiful Thursday morning. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. You couldn't ask for a more picturesque day. And on a great day, there's nothing else to do but to talk about sports and to rip on the Boston sports teams and figure out all the ways they're doing bad. And that is why I'm here, your host again, Drew Busney, live with you on the Drew Busney Show. And let's just hop right into it. Patriots, oh boy. I mean, what a game for all the wrong reasons on Sunday in Santa Clara, California. Just absolutely mauled by the 49ers. Never really had a shot. And yes, the 49ers are a severely better team than us, but in addition to them being outmanned on the depth chart, or our Patriots being outmanned on the depth chart, there was just a lot of bonehead mistakes. Fumbles, not thrown to the wide receiver that's open. Pop Douglas was open many times, and Jacoby Brissett never once hit him. Ronnie Stevenson fumbled. Now the talks are if he's going to get benched, which I think he's a better running back than Antonio Gibson. But if Antonio Gibson is the starter, then we just lose a lot of finesse and power and the ability to rely on the run game. Because at the end of the day, with Alex Van Pelt calling the offense, it's going to be a vanilla offense. It's what parents do with their kids when they're playing like the pickup scrimmage games. Run left, run right, run a slant, go straight. Like, that's the offense the Patriots are running. There's no specialness to it. There's no uniqueness. Nothing to catch the defense off guard. It's the most vanilla offense one can show, and it's behind an O-line that's not good, and it's with a quarterback who just gets hit because O-line's not good. And I'm just going to bring it up. I was going to wait till later in the show to bring it up, but I don't know if anyone saw my Instagram story, but I happened to call into 98.5 the Sports Hub the other day. Sorry, yesterday. And if you don't know, that's the leading Boston sports radio show. And I came onto the show and I said, how can you put in Drake May when you have a general manager who can't build a team, can't general manage? You have a coach who can't seem to figure out the nuances of coaching, keeps making bonehead mistakes that doesn't help the team. And you have an offensive coordinator who can't call anything more than vanilla offense. And I wanted to say that you then put him behind an offensive line who I said last week has more holes than Swiss cheese. And why are you ruining the development of your future quarterback, your franchise quarterback, for the benefit of winning one season? When you can go down, get some draft picks, maybe actually spend some money in the offseason and build this team and put him behind a team where he can succeed. You saw that a lot with C.J. Stroud. Sorry, my mind went blank. Oh my. You saw a lot with C.J. Stroud, who came into Houston and he kind of already had the building blocks around him. But the difference was the Houston Texans went out and they got people to help him out. And the Patriots have not really seemed to go out and get people to help Drake May. And the start of that is to get offensive linemen. And they don't have an offensive line. Now David Andrews is out for the year, and there's nothing really they can do to protect their quarterback. So you're going to put Drake May back there, and he's going to get clobbered. Because I personally believe that if he gets back there and gets hit, then he's going to lose all his confidence. You kind of saw it a little bit with Mac Jones. And I think that's how you ruin a quarterback in his development. I just don't think that throwing him behind a team that's not ready, that's not really a fully developed NFL team, I just don't think it's smart. But if you want to play devil's advocate, you can sit back, look at the bigger picture, and just see that the NFL in generally is a weaker league than it has been in the past. Teams are generally worse, whether that's because of bad quarterback play, because of there's just less good, less players that want to play now. Who knows what it is? But generally, NFL play, league play is down. So you could sit here and argue that if you put Drake May in, he's already better than Jacoby Brissett. He's big, long, he can move. He could give the Patriots more of a winning chance. And if we win a couple games, that puts yourself in the hunt for a playoffs. Because with the way stuff's going, you know, being around 500 is well maybe into the wild card. Just because the league is worse off than it has been in the past. But I think there's so much risk and such a little reward. Because if we make it to the playoffs, we get a pick that's like 16, 17. The player's not going to really develop our team much. Maybe they will. But we're not going to get the best pick of the litter. If we develop May still, and when we get the top five pick, we get a player who can instantly make an impact. Whether it's an offensive lineman, whether it's Travis Hunter, put him with Drake May. That's your new 1-2 punch. And as much as I want to see Patriots football return to the playoffs, I think you have to sacrifice one season for the future. Wow, I cannot speak today. Oh my. My vocal cords are not working, but we power through. I think you have to focus on your chance to win multiple Super Bowls in the next 10 years than losing in the wild card this year. Because if we make it to the playoffs, to be honest, we're not making it past the wild card round. But going back to why I said we were going to start this show, we said we're going to have this debate if it's Jerod Mayo or Elliot Wolf. And I think Jerod Mayo surely does have his problems, but it's really hard to coach when you don't really have a 53-man team that can put their best foot forward and even win a game. Because Elliot Wolf built a team that doesn't have an offensive lineman, that doesn't really have a superstar wide receiver. Yes, we have good wide receivers, but none of them are superstars. And our defense is full of scrubs, who I really don't know any of them. Who is like Elias, who was on the defense last year? I have no idea who that was. Like, we have these no-name bums who can't really do anything. Tavai, he's just the biggest bum of them all. He's a terrible player. But I think it starts with the team building, because you can't coach a team that's bad. I think some coaches, maybe Bill Belichick, could take a bad team and make it good, but especially with a new head coach, he has no ability to take a bad team and make it good. He can only work with good teams because he's a new head coach. And to be honest, I've really seen nothing from him to show me that he's going to thrive and be successful in New England. And so I'm still looking for more from him, but I can't really look and I can't really evaluate his performance when he doesn't really have a team to coach. It's hard to coach a team of scrubs. Some coaches, maybe Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, have experience, years and years of experience of football and how teams work, can do it. But Jerod Mayo, who's a first-time head coach, I really don't think he can. I think he needs a good team to coach. And with that, is it really too early to talk about tanking? Not really sure. I think so. I'd be fine getting a top five pick again. It was really entertaining to watch the draft and see what we're going to pick. And hopefully we didn't mess it up this year. We never know how Drake May is going to be. But I am totally down to tank. I think it's perfect. I think it's a good idea. I think we are just such a bad team that you have to plan for the future. I've been saying it over and over again today. Plan for the future. That's what you have to do. That's why I think we should tank. I'm not saying we throw the games. I'm just saying make it a competitive game like maybe it was on the Seahawks. And then lose. Bam. Make it entertaining for me to watch and maybe feel the stress coming that I haven't felt in 3 years because we're not close to winning. But they make it a close game, and we can lose on the game-winning field. I'm fine with that. As long as we lose at the end of the day, but it's a good game, I'm good with that. Just no Jets games where we get blown out. No 49ers games where we get blown out. Bengals-Seahawks games where it's close, and it comes down to the end, and it's actually enjoyable to watch. That's all I'm asking for. But as we reach about halfway through our program today, again, I want to remind you that you are listening to WRUC 89.7 FM, the first station in the nation, live from Schenectady, New York. We transition over to the Red Sox as our second segment of the day. And their season's over. They were eliminated again. They finished bottom of the pack, or almost, maybe on the bottom half. And the questions that have came up, I think it's the past three off-seasons, arise again. Are they actually going to do something? Are they going to go out, and are they going to spend money? And are they going to show their fans that they care about having a winning baseball team? Sorry, I didn't mean to yell that much, but it's just so infuriating that the owners are not willing to put their best foot forward and build a team. They care more about profits than spending money on players. And if you care about that, then you should not be owning a sports team. Because at the end of the day, you own a sports team to win. And John Henry, Sam Kennedy are the last people I think that want to win right now. Everything that comes out of their mouth is pure BS. They don't want to add. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do this. They don't want to make their team better. They just want money in their pockets. They are greedy. They are selfish. And they do not deserve to be a part of the Red Sox organization. And to be honest, I still have no idea why they hire Sam Kennedy. I think he's a total bum. What has he done for this team? He's been a part of this team when we trade away our best players. He's been part of this team when we finish dead last every year. Just look at the pattern. There is no such thing as a coincidence. Sam Kennedy is not good for this team. And we blame it on John Henry. We blame it on our GMs. But if you look at it, we've had three GMs. And it's the same pattern. They don't go out and they don't spend and they trade away our best players. So obviously it's not the GM's coach. And I don't think it's Alex Cora's coach. Fault, sorry. It's not the GM's fault. It's not the coach's fault. And so it comes down to John Henry or Sam Kennedy. And so those are people we should blame. Yes, maybe Chaim Bloom didn't make the best choices. But at the end of the day, his bosses are Sam Kennedy and John Henry. And he wants to keep his job, so he appeases them. That's why he did what he did. And John Henry and Sam Kennedy are so good that they were able to put the blame on Chaim Bloom and turn the fans against him and have the fans believe that it was all his fault. That's what it was. That's what they do. They are manipulative. They know exactly how to manipulate the fan perspective against their general manager. They know how to have the sacrificial lamb in the organization. And I know there's no chance any of them are ever going to listen to my show. And that, frankly, no one close to the Red Sox organization is going to listen to my show. But I am calling them out. Sam Kennedy needs to go. Ownership needs to go. And they need to put in place someone who cares about the well-being of the Red Sox and actually cares about bringing them back to the World Series. And so I'm going to sit here for the whole Red Sox offseason. I'm going to ask the same question. Are they going to go out or are they going to spend money? Are they going to trade? Are they just going to sit back and do nothing like they always do and make everyone who cares about the Red Sox mad? And I think we all know the answer. I think we all know that we're not going to do anything. Because at the end of the day, Mr. Sam Kennedy and Mr. John Henry are selfish, care about getting themselves rich. They don't really care about the people they serve. At the end of the day, they're doing this for themselves when they should be doing it for other people. Because if you're a genuine human being who actually cares about other people, which Sam Kennedy and John Henry do not, they would run the Red Sox for the fans. But at the end of the day, to many people, money is not the afterthought. Money is the forefront. It's what they want, and you can see the greed in Sam Kennedy and John Henry. And it's just so infuriating to be able to watch meaningful baseball in September at Fenway Park. My grandfather always talks about this, to have the joy of going through the summer, and then when it becomes cold, Fenway Park is popping off. It's loud. There's energy, and the Red Sox are in the playoffs. It's a feeling unlike any other, and it's a high you want to get back to, and No one's letting us get back to it. So we'll see what happens. And for our final segment today, we're going to revisit our conversation from last week about the PGA Tour schedule. And I was thinking about it. And last week I proposed that you split up the events. Some are the individual stroke play events, some are the team events. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that what we're in right now is PGA Tour FedEx Cup Fall. And it's not really a part of the, you know, the FedEx Cup season where we see all these big events, the majors. It's just a way for the lower level players to gain their PGA Tour card. And so I was thinking, what if we don't care about these lower level players? We kind of force them onto the Korn Ferry Tour and we play our regular season, what is it, January to August? And then this FedEx Cup Fall is team events. I'm not saying every week. I'm saying every 3 weeks you play team events, so it's kind of maybe like a 5 week schedule. And then you end in a championship. Because we're playing from September, October, November, December. So you have 4 months. That's 4, 8, 12. That's about 16-ish weeks, give or take. So after the tour championship, maybe you have 2 weeks off. Or maybe you have 2 weeks off. You have the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. You have a week off. So that's about till we are right now. That's till about October 1st. Now you have basically all of September off to relax. So you have October, November, December to play. First week in October is a team event. Maybe the first 2 weeks. The week off. Then last week in October, Halloween, you have an event. Week off. Maybe you have two in November, week off. And you have one maybe the first week in December. So what was that? That was like two, three, four, five. You know, six team events. And then you have a championship somewhere. Some amazing course somewhere. And you end middle of December, and then you're about 2 weeks off till the season starts. And I don't know, you call it FedEx Cup team or whatever it is. I don't know. But you designate the quote-unquote off-season away from these main events, the majors, the big events, playoffs, and you designate that to team events because, first of all, I think team events take less energy. You play less holes. It doesn't have to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It could just be Saturday, Sunday. It doesn't have to be full. Like a full weekend, a full golf weekend. And I think people are going to be like, oh, they're going to get tired. But first of all, they're paid to play. So I think that really shouldn't be a debate. And we can make it so they just play less. Maybe it's only two rounds. And so you're playing six tournaments, but you're instead of playing four rounds each, you're playing two rounds. So it's already less. Maybe they could see it as a way to, you know, keep the swing fresh. But that's really what my mind was going. I kind of want to develop it more. And maybe you decrease the requirements to play from January to August. Where you play less just because you might get tired. But who knows. And I'm going to keep thinking about it because it's really interesting. It's really interesting to create this schedule. But thank you very much for listening to episode 2 of the Drew Busney Show today. I will see you all next week.